Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
That was beautiful. You know, each day is a new beginning. Each day we find all the possibilities, all the promises are ours. The question is, what will we do with them? We achieve something sometimes of importance in the world. Sometimes we don't achieve anything that the world looks at and gives us credit for at all. But we need to realize that what we're building on is the past. We're building on those things that we have achieved in the past, those things that we have done in the past. That's what we're building on. An athlete who goes out to run a race has run that race many times before. Maybe he hasn't run it against competition. Maybe he's just simply run the race. He's run that distance before. When I was in track, I used to run the half mile. And it was because I was too slow to run anything else. But I could run the half mile because I could sprint the whole way. And so the coach would put me out there, and I would run the half mile several times during one session in the afternoon. And then when the meet came, when we were out there, and I actually had to run against someone, my strategy remained the same. I ran as fast as I could, as long as I could. I remember on one occasion I was running, and I came to the last 100 yards, and I was way ahead. But these two men started putting on a kick, and they started gaining on me. And I could hear the people screaming, "Run faster, Roy, run faster, run faster. They're gaining on you." I was already running as fast as I could. Sometimes the world looks at us and says, "That's the best we can do." But you know something? With God, it's never the best we can do, because God allows us to do what He wants us to do. He'll give us a tailwind. He'll put in a kick where there was no kick. He'll give us that extra thing we need to get across the finish line. In Joshua chapter 4, we're instructed to make memorials, to remember the things that God has done in our life that allow us to live with hope in the present and hope in the future. Without knowledge of what God has done for me so far, I'd never be able to carry on today or go any further at all. For instance, when you walked in here, you're just accustomed to taking a breath. There's air in this building. There doesn't have to be. It could be poison gas. But there's air. There's oxygen here. And because you're used to there being oxygen in this room, you didn't come in with an oxygen mask. You didn't come in with a special tank. You came in understanding there was something that showed you from the past that this present moment would be safe for you to enter in. God wants you to remember that it is always the safest place to be in the palm of His hand. He wants you to remember that. He wants you to remember all the previous blessings you have received. Everything that God has done for you, so that you can announce to the world that God is the only reason you are what you are. You have what you have, and that you have hope for tomorrow. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come for You this morning, may we bow before You. In our hearts and minds, may our knees buckle before You. For we stand in the awesome presence of our Lord and of our God. We thank You. We praise You. May everything that we hear today be from you. Therefore, cast my words, my thoughts out, and let us hear from you, Father. Father, you know that I surrender myself to you at this moment. Use me any way you can. But Father, I petition that you send the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us with words of life and death, and who can, by his very presence, transform our lives. Father, may we be attentive to what we hear today. May we know that you are here and that you are speaking to us directly. Father, may each of us know that you love and care for us enough to have sent your only Son into this world so that we might spend eternity with you. Father, we thank you and praise you for the sacrifice you made, for the sacrifice he made. May we read your holy scripture and see how your constant care and provision must be remembered. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading today from Joshua chapter 4. We'll start with the first 7 verses. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Imagine how those millions of people must have felt, because they actually saw and were part of an entourage that saw and experienced the miracle of God. The Jordan River, which was at flood stage, had suddenly dried up and allowed them all to walk over, to cross over on dry land. They saw that the priest's obedience to step out into those rushing deep waters of the Jordan River were rewarded by the fulfillment of God's promise. What happens when God has promised us something and we don't step out to receive it? You have not, for you ask not, or you ask not aright. If you are given a promise of God and you do not step out to receive that promise, you will not receive the promise. Faith had those priests stepping out, and it was their faith that God responded to. When their feet hit the waters dried up. Have you ever had that experience in your life? You know, there was a time when I had a heart attack, and I would drive by the hospital where I was treated, even after they released me and after I'd had a stent put in and everything. And like Pavlov's dog, my left arm would hurt every time I drove by that hospital. And I would have to say, greater is he who is in me than he who's in that hospital. Because I had to be reminded of what God had done for me that prevented another heart attack from happening. That was 20 years ago. I needed to remember. Because without that remembrance, I would not have received. There was a man who visited me when I was in the hospital there after my heart attack. And he was one of the people in the support group. And he came in and chatted with me for a moment, and I tried to entertain him. As my wife will tell you, I tried to entertain everybody who came to see me. And he said, oh, you'll be all right. He said, I know the ones who are not going to make it because they have an attitude of fear. You see, that fear is because of lack of faith. And that fear means that they will not receive the promise. You may have been aware of the same kind of miracle in your own life. Maybe you have faced a rushing, mighty river, deep and almost impassable in the form of cancer, or heart disease, or perhaps the sudden loss of a job, which meant everything to you because you invested yourself in that job. That's who you were. Quite often men will introduce me to another man, and that man will introduce himself as, oh, I'm this, or I'm a salesman, or I'm an engineer, or I'm this, or I'm that. Because he identifies with what he does. That's who he is. And so a sudden loss of a job is heartbreak, or the sudden loss of a loved one. And maybe in the midst of that, when you didn't know how you were going to get by, when you couldn't understand how in the world you could do anything, God has made a way where there previously was no way. He gave you a way of escape. God is in the business of creating escape routes for you. That's what he does. That's how he does it. Sometimes perhaps you prayed a prayer and you thought, oh God, let me have this. Oh God, do this for someone else. This last week we prayed for someone that has never been in these doors. He is the son of faithful people who are not here today because of the weather, because they're getting older and the weather prevents them from driving in this kind of weather. And so they're not here, but their son, they wanted to make sure we prayed for him because he's had cancer. And they wanted to make sure that he was received into this new program where he wouldn't have to take chemo. And there wasn't any place in Texas where he could go. All the hospitals were full that were doing this particular procedure. And so he went to Oklahoma, and they asked us, oh, pray that he will be received in that hospital. And God made a way, and he was received in that hospital. God does those kinds of things all the time. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. You understand, in part, what these people understood that day. Maybe you have understood because of your long struggle that obedience and faithfulness to God is a prerequisite before God gives you something that you desperately want or need. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've heard it secondhand. Maybe you, like the priest, have not heard directly from God. The priest who stepped out on the waters had heard from Joshua what God said. Perhaps you've heard it in Sunday school or Bible study, or you've heard it on the radio or television or in church someplace. You've heard that there is a promise of God that is for you. You've heard it. You know it's true. You know that all you have to do is be obedient to God to receive it. That's all you have to do. You have to accept what He has already provided for you. You have to take what He's already given you. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've heard it secondhand. And maybe you've stepped out. And maybe you've received it. You know, we are under lots of attacks here at the church. Lots of attacks. The Satan just hates what's going on. He hates it. You can feel the Spirit of God moving, and Satan hates it. And because Satan hates it, we have to face these various trials and tribulations. But we can't do it without God. We cannot do it on our own. Our own strength is not sufficient. We need His strength. God knows our weaknesses. And because God knows us so well, He has given us this wonderful gift of memorials to help us remember. To help us remember what God has done to benefit us. God knows that all of us suffer from sometimers. I tell my wife that I sometimes forget this. And I don't have Alzheimer's. I don't forget all the time, but I forget some of the time. God knows that. And because of that, because we tend to forget His benefits, because we're sitting in the sunshine and things are all nice and warm and fuzzy, because we have everything we need, because things seem to be going along pretty well with our family, we tend to forget God until we're in a foxhole, until we're really down. That's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live in constant remembrance that every good and perfect thing we have comes from Him. He wants us to remember the goodness of God. And so God, knowing that we have this weakness, gives us reminders. There are lots of reminders. I mean, the rainbow is a reminder that God's never going to destroy the world by flood again. I don't care what these people say who come on television and tell you we're in a new ice age, or, well, the sun's going to come out and melt all the things. And I don't care. God put a rainbow in the sky. That's His promise to the world. He will never destroy the world again by water. So don't worry about it. If they tell you suddenly that because of global warming, we're going to be washed away, don't believe it. They didn't create the rainbow. God did. God's given us all kinds of things to remember. Jesus in the Last Supper said, "Do this in remembrance of me." There's constantly things that God is putting in our way that allow us to remember the great things that He has done for us. His constant care. Sometimes we forget. And when we forget, we go into a spirit of poverty. You know, I have to throw things out from time to time, because even in this church, I have to remind myself all the time that we're living on God's provision, not on our own. That it's a God thing, not our thing, that keeps us going. And so I need to get rid of stuff. You know, I like to hoard stuff because I'm afraid someday we may need it. My wife and I have this problem at home. We have more clothes than we can wear. Some of them are too tight. None of them are too loose. But we keep thinking, maybe I'll be thin again. And if I hold on to them, I won't have to go out and buy another one. That is the spirit of poverty. Sometimes we have a spirit of inadequacy. We don't feel like we can do it. Oh, we can't do that. That's just too big. And I'd rather retreat and stay in the nice, warm, fuzzy place I'm at. That's not what God wants you to be. He wants you to be bold and to expand out and take the things that He's provided. But there seem to me some other reasons for memorials in our life. One of them is to encourage other people. Have you ever come across someone? I know that people here work in the hospital, and I know that all of you have met someone in your life who needs encouragement. How can you encourage them unless you can share with them how you yourself were encouraged? You can't. You don't have any way of doing it. I was out in San Francisco in this acting gig a few months ago. And I said to one young man who was an actor there, I said, "You just haven't suffered enough." And he went, "What?" And everybody around thought that was so funny. Well, by his age, I had suffered. I knew more about how to portray a part because I had suffered something of their suffering. Sometimes you have to allow experience to come through you. And if you're going to encourage someone else, you're going to have to be able to say to them something that you know to be true. My son was in the emergency ward this last Wednesday. And he was by himself, and I went there, and he was having pains and all kinds of symptoms that looked like a heart attack. And because of family history, he was concerned about himself. His wife couldn't be there. She was with two of my little grandsons who were sick, throwing up. And she hadn't slept but 2 hours and 38 hours. And so she was concerned. She had to drop him off at the hospital and go away. And so I went. And I was there, and we went through the test, and everything was fine. But I said to my son, the last thing I said to him before I dropped him off at his house that night was something that God had taught me. You have what you say. I want you to understand that too. You have what you say. If you're constantly saying, "I'm old, I'm weak, I'm full of poverty, I can't, you won't. Your attitude affects your altitude when it comes to this world, when it comes to God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can. You don't want to be nervous and frightened about yourself. And so, in order to give a testimony to the next generation, you have to be able to tell them about what God has done for you. You have to be able to show them what God has done for you. You know, sometimes all we do is say, "Read my lips." Well, we've had too many politicians say that. We don't want to read your lips. We don't want to hear empty words. "Show me," they say in Missouri. "Give me some evidence of what you're saying so that I will know that it's true." When we tell our story, when we give our testimony, we certainly cannot leave out the author of our story. To tell our story, "Oh, I did this and I did that." No, God did this and God did that. By His grace, by His mercy, by His love, by His forgiveness, I stand here and am who I am and will be who I will be. Because of God. Not because, "Oh, I went to school." Not because of the schools I went to. In my case, it was multiple. They kept kicking me out of various colleges. Well, they didn't actually kick me out, but I went to multiple universities. It's not because of them. It was because of God that I learned anything at all. God has worked in the past. He's working today. And our children and the next generation needs to know how they can trust their future to Him, because we do. I do not trust my future to the IRS. I do not trust my future to the Social Security system. I do not trust my future to any government entity. I do not trust my future to anybody, not even my great physicians that are on this earth. I base my trust in the future on the promises of God, because God has promised me that I will have eternal life with Him. And God tells Joshua to mark this special event with stones. He wants stones taken out where these men stepped out in faith. He wants stones picked up, river rocks, stones picked up and built into a monument. You know, that's not the first time we've heard that probably in the Bible, but it is true all the way through the Bible. In Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, "Who do you say that I am?" Some say you're one thing, another. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replies, he says, "Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And upon this confession, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And your name will be Peter, Petra, small stone. And upon that stone, that rock, I will build my church. I got to thinking about that. What a magnificent teaching aid that was. But then I realized that he had said it before and that he would say it afterwards. You might remember that that we're told once before in Matthew that Jesus said that the wise man and the foolish man built his house on sand. The wise man built his house on rock. And the rains came and the floods came. And the winds blew, but the house was preserved because it was built on a rock. Jesus is saying he's going to build his church on a rock, and the gates of Hades will not even prevail against it. There's something about that stone. Jesus said that if we didn't proclaim him, the very stones would cry out and say Jesus was Lord. There's something about that. So in my house, in my home, I have my own little memorial of river rocks. Some of them were from Israel, some of them from various places. And I've taken the marks a lot and I've written on them. I've written on them God's benefits to me. The date of my marriage to my wife, because she was a gift from God. My children, because they were a gift from God. My grandchildren, because they were a gift from God. Also in that jumble of stones, if you look in, you'll find that 14 years ago, almost 14 years ago, March, 14 years ago, I came to this church for the first time. You'll find that there are things there from 20 years ago when I had the heart attack and God delivered me. You will find all kinds of messages in those little stones that I have there. I brought stones for you today. Little pocket stones. Little stones for you to carry with you, so you can begin to build your own memorial. But these little stones have scripture verses on them. And these scripture verses are promises of God. There are lots of promises for God. Promises that are for you, for every believer. For you to remember. Have you forgotten John 3:16? That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a promise to you. That's a promise to me. We have eternal life because we placed our faith, our trust, our confidence in God. We have believed in the only begotten Son of God, and therefore we have eternal life, and nothing can take that away from you. Jesus said, if you're in the Father's hand, no one can take you out of that. And so that is a promise of God. There are countless promises of God that are for you. And so at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come up and take one of these stones just to remember that God made promises to you. And they're different scriptures. They're various scriptures. Look it up. See that promise that was made to you. He made countless promises to you. That is important. because you are the living stones. And unless you cry out, the world will not hear. Unless God uses you to build His church, the church will not be built on stone. You see, Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Jesus was saying that even He, with all the miracles He had done, had not revealed to Simon Bar-Jona that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was an illumination directly from God Himself. God may have illuminated that in you. You know, we see this time after time. David picked up 3 stones when he faced the Goliath in his life. 3 stones. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, he picked up 3 stones because Goliath had 2 brothers, you know. I like to think that he picked up 3 stones because they reminded him of the promises of God. God, he said, would, "Yea, though I walk through the very shadow of death, God is with me." He knew when he had that stone in the sling, God was with him. He knew that God had anointed his head with oil. He knew that when he threw that sling. And he knew that surely goodness and grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe he knew that. That is stepping out on faith and building a memory, a memorial. Just as you would build a memorial in your house with photographs of the kids. I've got some photographs that I can blackmail my kids with forever. I've got some films that I can show them on videotape that will embarrass them, and they'll have to pay me big bucks not to show. And my wife knows that I'm pretty bad about doing things like that. But David was spoken to by God. Joshua was spoken to by God. God will speak to you too. All you have to do is listen. If you have ears to hear, He will tell you that you can trust Him and to get your feet wet. That He will provide a way where there is no way. And there are 3 questions that I want us to answer today. One is, what has God done or is doing in your life that you should memorialize? That you should not only have a memory, vague memory of, but that could come back and you could explain to people and you could show to people, what is it that God is doing in your life that you should memorialize? I want you to think about that. Because whatever that is that God is doing in your life, whether He's providing you with health or a job or companionship in the midst of your loneliness, whatever He is doing, that's just one of the countless blessings that you're receiving. You know the old song, "Count your blessings one by one"? You know, when the flesh does that, you go to sleep. It's like counting sheep because there's so many blessings. But you're not to go to sleep. God wants you awake. God wants you to be aware of the blessings that you have. Sometimes that's your conversion story. I heard this last Wednesday that someone gave an account of how they came to Christ that was really moving to others that heard it. That's one way of doing it. It's a testimony. You know, I like to think about testimonies. I think about the woman who anointed the Lord Jesus with oil. And everybody was against her. And they said, "Why are you doing that? You could feed people for a month with what you're doing by pouring that oil all over him. Why are you so wasteful? Why are you doing that? You could sell that and have all this money." And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. For she does this for my funeral." And he said, "And wherever the gospel is preached, this will be a memorial to her." I like to believe that when Jesus was on the cross and he had been whipped and scorned by men, that in that place on Golgotha, when the wind blew, he could still smell the sweet fragrance of that oil in his hair. I like to understand, I like to believe, that while he suffered from the harshness of men's hatred and fear, he was aware of the love that was given to him unconditionally. You know, God wants our testimonies. He wants it. Second, I would like you to ask yourself, if God has favored you, if God has shown you some of his benefits, what are you doing to share that with others? What are you actively engaged in today that shares some of those things that he brings to your remembrance that he has done for you? Are you doing that? Are you sharing those things? God shared his self with you. What are you sharing with him? Third, are you grateful for what God has done for you? Are you grateful? You know, I don't know how all of you feel about being grateful, but I sometimes am not as grateful as I should be. Moshe Dayan, you remember the guy with the patch that was from Israel, who was a general. He was asked after the Six-Day War, did he believe in miracles? He said, no, I don't believe in miracles. We live by miracles. He became so accustomed to the miraculous in his life that he almost took it for granted. He almost got to the place where he didn't give God credit for every single thing, because that would take all of his time just to give credit for God for every single thing. I know what he feels like. But that is a memorial to God, and for the glory of God, you have to constantly give him praise, adoration, and be thankful for what he's done, for what he's doing. That is what each of us is called to. Then we are grateful children. We're grateful children because why? Well, because we live in the promised land. We can't live in this land without cost. There was a cost to Christ to give you the land. It's a cost to give you eternal life. There's a cost that I tell each of you to be willing to give yourselves away every day, as Christ gave himself for us. We need to remember that the future becomes possible so that God gets the glory for all the things that he is doing in our lives. Matthew Henry, the great biblical scholar, once was met on the road by robbers, and they took his purse, took all the money that he had. And later in his diary, he wrote this as a living memorial to the grace of God. He said, I am grateful that those who took my purse didn't take my life. I am grateful that even though they took all I had, it wasn't very much. And I am most grateful that it was I who was robbed, and I was not the robber. All of us need to understand that that's who we are. We have a memorial to give away to others. We should begin to build those memories today, that others may know that God has poured out his love and his life for us. For after all, people come to Christ because others are willing to say, Christ came for me. When I was down and out, Christ came for me. When I had nothing, Christ came for me. When I was sick, Christ lifted me. When I was in despair, Christ comforted me. Remember, you have what you say. You either say something that is in fact a memorial to God, or you say something that is a memorial to the flesh. Wow, look what I did. How long will that last? What does that say to the future generations? What does that say to the generations who are lost? Look what God's done. That's the message that each and every one of us needs to have in our heart, needs to proclaim with our mouth and with our actions. I have a son right now who's in England today with his wife and child. And they're not rich. They don't have money. But they're there. And one of his remembrances, I know for a fact because he's mentioned it to me, is not Daddy's preaching. He used to sit back in the back and make sure my sound was okay so people could hear me rambling on and chasing rabbits. What he remembers is that when he was supposedly asleep, pretending to be asleep, he opened his eyes and saw me kneeling by his bed and praying for him. My eldest son, I was able to have a moment with where he knew when I was touching him and rubbing his back and reassuring him that it was all right. He was my little boy again. It's being a doer, not just a speaker or a hearer of the word that matters. Have you done that? Have you formed a memory of what God has done for you? Have you come to the place where you share it with people? Are you grateful enough to be obedient and build your own memorial so that you realize that no matter what happens to you in this life, it's meaningless? What happens to you in eternity is all that counts. Sometimes I have said to my children, I'll leave you with this, that it's not the longevity of a life that matters. It's the donation a life makes that counts. If you can understand that God is the one who has made the greatest donation you will ever have, the blood transfusion that keeps you alive forevermore, then you can come to Him and take all of His promises to the bank, because He desires that you have the abundant life.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.